That's why you got to just keep going, because it's always going to work out, but it may not work out the way you think it's going to work out, right? So you got to give it time to, like, you know, move through the evolution of what it's going to do.
You got to pick yourself up, go backwards, and slam yourself at the wall like 500 more times until the wall crumbles.
25% of middle school girls already believe they'll never achieve their dream career.
Hi, I'm Kara Golden, founder and CEO of Hint. And you're listening to Unstoppable, a podcast spotlighting the journeys of inspiring entrepreneurs. I believe that at its core, leadership is about constantly learning from the people around you. And I'm so inspired by the conversations we're having in our upcoming episodes and can't wait to share them with you. This season, some of my guests include Rebecca Minkoff, fashion designer and founder of the Female Founder Collective, Diana Kaff, author of Girls Who Run the World, Andrew Dudham, founder of Hims, and Eugene Rem, co-founder of Rumble Fitness, and much, much more. Plus, we ask the million-dollar question, what does it really take to be unstoppable? Let's find out.
Hi, everybody. It's Kara at Unstoppable. I'm super excited. I have one of my oldest friends here and also incredible entrepreneur. I'm so excited that I was able to get her on today. Christy Ross. Welcome, Christy.
Thank you, Kara. I'm so excited to be here. Just love you. Love what you're doing. So I'm excited.
Oh, you too. So excited. So Christy is the founder and CEO of Planted Places. And we're going to talk a little bit about Christy's journey, but just to give you a little bit of background, she's a seasoned entrepreneur with over 25 years of experience in technology. I want to say you may or may not be able to see her, but she looks like she's 25, not 25 years of experience, but she's had lots of incredible companies that she's worked with and started her own company as well. Primarily in the consumer e-commerce space, as well as finance technology. But she started this company back in, what year was that? The Great Entertaining?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was like 1998. Yeah.
Wow. So the end of the 90s, incredible parties in e-commerce parties company, pretty much the first one that was doing packaging them up. It was a brilliant idea.
It was pre-PayPal, if you remember that. It was like, oh my God, we had to build everything from scratch.
Yeah, yes. It was wild. Based in San Francisco. Anyway, Christy's been at Intuit. She's Bill.com. Like I said, PayPal, she's done a bit there as well. And she really looked at kind of the space that she'll talk to us a little bit about as, you know, kind of following her passion. I mean, she's always fun to talk about her and kind of what she's always enjoyed. It's always been lots of other stuff. And also she's always gardening and doing these incredible things and pulling me to the sunset house down in, you know, Palo Alto or Menlo, you know, just to go see what's going on. She's just always been really excited about it. So I'm excited that she's able to take that passion and really develop a business around it. And she went to Harvard Business School. She was actually recently was in a competition there, and she was a finalist at the 2020 Harvard New Venture Competition, which is super, super cool. And yeah, I mean, she's great. And I can't wait to sort of hear her thoughts and advice. And just, she's a real leader. So I'm very, very excited to have her here. So welcome, welcome. But first of all, tell me just a little bit about, like, how did you decide to really launch Planted Places?
Great question. There's so many different kind of reasons why I did this. And, you know, you said the word passion. That was a big driver. I mean, you know, you talked a lot about my career and what I've done. And, you know, I did spend, I always say when I'm starting a business myself, I do e-commerce or I do a consumer focus. But if I'm working for a company, it's in finance technology. It just always seems to be this trend I had. But I really wanted to do something that was focused on consumers, solving a problem, something I was passionate about. And gardening is really one of those areas for me. And really, it's really interesting, but a lot of it was around what had happened with technology. Because it is true that I do love technology and where that converges. And, you know, when I started my first company, you know, we didn't have anything. We didn't, you know, everything was like ground up, right? I mean, I think we called like blogs bulletin boards. I mean, it was crazy back then. So it was one of those things where I was working for PayPal and I like literally was doing this competitive review of all like Shopify and Magento and all those different things. And like within 20 minutes and like $25 later, I was like, oh my God, I'm on the web for business. And this is great. This was, you know, a couple of years ago. And I was like, okay, wow, that was like $1 million and 100 people back in, you know, 98 or whatever. Yeah. So that's it. I'm doing it. Like, I don't, you know, I'm going to just jump in with this passion of mine and I'm going to kind of figure it out like all entrepreneurs do. So that's kind of where the whole thing started.
Wild. But the gardening side of it, I mean, yeah. You were always like, that's what you were doing like on weekends, right? I mean,
yeah, that's my happy place. Yes. Yeah.
And so how did you decide to put those two things together though, like as a business?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, you know, a lot of times, especially, you know, this is my second company I've done, you know, you really have to love what you're doing, right? I mean, and you know this, right? Better than anybody, where it's like, there's a lot of highs and lows and you really want to pick something where it's like, when the going gets like, I'm going to figure this out. Right. And so I wanted something I was really passionate about, but I also feel like from the health side of standpoint and just kind of the environment, everything that's going on in our world, it is important. Like gardening, nature, the environment, that stuff is super important. And it's one of those things that, you know, when you do it, like when you're out there in the garden, it doesn't matter. You could be on your container pots, on your deck, wherever it is. There is just something magical about that. And this is going to sound really funny, but you know, when you're gardening, like I always have, and you get it right, you know, like you get the right plants and the right location and it's low maintenance, like all of a sudden you're like, jam, I got it. I figured it out. And, you know, and I always would be talking to people and they're like, oh, I have brown thumb. That's not for me. I can't do that. I'd love to learn, but I can't do it. And that was really where the idea was like, you know what, but this actually, like, I want to bring this to people. And so that's kind of where it started, which is like, let me go work with growers. Let me get like plant collections and let me figure this out for people. And so they're buying these products on my website and I'm kind of sending it to them. And then it kind of morphed into living walls, because it was kind of like, I really want to give people the ability who are living in a small space. You know, not everybody has a big yard, big garden. So it's like living walls are huge. I mean, there's so many health benefits to that. And so, you know, so then I really kind of evolved that into kits, garden kits for living walls. And this is an interesting journey. And I'm sure many entrepreneurs can talk about this, but what happened along the way was as I was doing that, I started getting people going, okay, I love what you're doing, but can you do it for me? Mm-hmm. You know, I want you to do it for me. And I was like, ooh, I want to teach you how to do it. But like, no, I want you to do it. So I was in this interesting, you know, and as an entrepreneur, you're getting the revenue coming in, they're paying you. So you're like, okay. But what was happening with me was I was like, I'm glad I'm doing this, but I want to bring this to more people. And when you're doing custom walls, you're kind of limited, right? To the people who can afford it. And also you're limited geographically. And so I had this client and we were doing this beautiful succulent wall. I mean, it was like 14 feet by 5 feet high. Like it was this beautiful wall and she had a raised bed underneath it. And she was like, I'm trying to figure out what to do over that corner. And I'm like, let's grow produce on that. Cause you got the raised bed there. And she's like, oh my God, I would love to do that. How do we do that? And I was laughing. Cause I'm like, I don't know how to do that. And so that was kind of the birth of my kind of where I brought the company to is I thought, if I can figure out how you grow organic produce, living soil. You got to be using soil because that's really the healthiest way to do it. If I can figure out how to do that on a wall, like that solves so many problems for people. And so I kind of went to work on that. I basically kept doing my ornamental side of my business, but I was an R&D hub on the other side, right? Trying to figure that out. Partnered with some growers, did a bunch of testing, designed a system. And lo and behold, here we are today where I kind of separated my business out. I've got my ornamental business and I got my farm wall business.
That's awesome. So there was no like book that you could like go to. I mean, there were a lot of different books, right? For different pieces of it or, you know, different websites and stuff that you were looking at. I mean, I love that because people are always like, oh, you know, I wish I could go to one place to sort of learn this. And I'm like, that's what entrepreneurism is all about. Like there's no go here and do this. Otherwise, like someone would have done it before. So I think that's what's so great what you did.
Well, and it's so true. And you know what's funny too is everybody is so different, right? How they learn, what is, you know, kind of specific for their business. And you know, honestly, the one thing that probably helped me more than anything was kind of going, I got to get out of my head, right? Like so many entrepreneurs stand in their way right? And it was one of these things where I was listening, I would always listen to podcasts, you know, I'd be driving to different, you know, conferences, sites, and I'd be, I had my podcast on, I'm listening to them. And there was this guy that came on one time and he just started talking about kind of like getting out of your mind, right? Get out of your head, you know, you're sitting there living in fear and all these things and you don't even know it. But it's basically causing you to make decisions and do things that are just, you're in your way. That was so pivotal for me because I was like, I'm doing that, you know? So,
Exactly. I mean, as you know, my book is a lot about this and about, you know, it's called Undaunted, Overcoming Doubts and Doubters. And I talk about this all the time that, you know, people used to, when I'd be out speaking, people would say to me, oh, you're fearless. You're just totally different. Or, you know, you don't have any doubts. And I think I blurted out at one point a couple of years ago, like, you have no idea who I am. And I was like, I have doubts every single day. And I have all of these times along the way where everything was going great. And then it collapses.
Yep.
And then I'm like, you know, and then you have to figure out, like, where is that little grain of good? And where can I take that? And like, that is the story of, you know, good entrepreneurs, right? That it's like, when you really hear their stories, they have plenty of like down days and plenty of failures, right, along the way.
So true.
And they just have to keep getting up and making decisions. And sometimes the decisions aren't easy. You know, you've got to let people go, or you've got to, you know, talk to suppliers about really hard things, or raise money, or whatever. Like, there's just a lot of components to it. So yeah. I think people hear these stories, they start to feel less alone too. And, you know, it doesn't really matter what the industry is, whether you're doing water or, you know, organic farms or widgets of any sort. It's like, it's all kind of the same thing.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting too about what you're saying, it's also, you're the leader of the company, right? So you got, like, you might be having one of those days where you've got doubts and you've got to stand up in front of everybody and be that cheerleader and keep everybody going. I mean, especially now with, you know, what we're going through with COVID, and those are the things people don't talk about, right? I mean, those are the things where it's like, you know, you got to be strong for everybody else too. And I think that's something that.
Yeah, no, I think it's really critical. So the model on this, so, you know, you went during COVID. I mean, you were already kind of researching it even before COVID. Yeah.
I mean, I laugh, Kara, because I always think, God, you know what? This is so true, but like, business will move. In, that's why you got to just keep going, because it's always going to work out, but it may not work out the way you think it's going to work out, right? So you got to give it time to, like, you know, move through the evolution of what it's going to do. And so I always laugh and say, God, I wish I was like 6 months ahead of myself, because when COVID hit, you know, I was still building a lot of my backend systems, you know, to be able to scale and do things. And I was like, oh God, I can't bring on people too fast, right? But it was so timely because, you know, think about it, now more than ever, people are kind of like, you know, there was a while there in like March and April where it was like the grocery stores were empty. I mean, I remember one time I went to Whole Foods and took a picture because the entire produce section was empty. And I was like, oh my God, you know, that's a little weird, right? And so it was, part of it was, you know, cleanliness, people, where's my food coming from? So you have that safety issue, but then there's just a whole larger issue up there in terms of our supply chain. And, you know, there's data out there. In fact, we're writing a blog about this right now, but there's like 60 years of basically like topsoil left, you know, in the US for farming.
Wow.
So it's like, it's big. It's, I mean, I can't wait for this blog to come out because we're, you know, we're researching a lot about this, and it's a big deal. So people need to learn, you know, kind of, what does it mean to grow in soil?
Yeah. And people just don't understand that and the importance of it, you know, and the vitamins and everything that's coming to you. That's incredible. So you're on a, so it's a subscription box program. Tell me, tell me about the business model.
Yeah. I mean, so it's interesting because this is such great timing because, you know, we're basically evolving into this new subscription business as well. So what we've been doing is we sell a farm wall and with it comes a membership. And what that basically means is this farm wall is a self-standing, you know, self-irrigating, you basically lug it in, or you can use a solar panel, and you, and we send you seedlings year round, and you're farming off a wall, right? And you, so you can be doing
that's amazing.
It. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But the membership's important because, you know, number one, we give you seedlings and soil and the things that you need, but we're coaching you because we're really focused on people that want to learn how to grow food, but don't know, because the people that know how to grow food, they're going to buy it because they know and they see, oh God, I don't have to bend over. I don't have to mend the soil. This is awesome. Right. But I really want to expand that market. Okay, I love the stat there. Since COVID, as of June, since COVID started, 16 million new food gardeners, which basically means people growing food under the age of 35 since COVID. So basically between March 14th and June, 16 million new people under the age of 35 growing food. So there's
incredible
huge demand. Yeah. And so basically what was happening is, you know, in order to get started, you do purchase, it's kind of like the Peloton, you buy your bike, right? You buy your farm wall and then you start. And what I was noticing around the marketplace, a lot of demand and a lot of people really nervous about just confidence around, yeah. I don't think I can do that. Like, that is beautiful in your Instagram pictures and all this stuff, but I don't think I can do that. Like, I have a brown thumb. And so it kind of just had this epiphany where I'm like, oh my God, I need to flip this over on its head. And I need to launch a box subscription, which basically lets people baby step into it, right? Like, we're going to send you seedlings. We're going to send you living soil. We're going to send you grow pots. And we're going to take you through the seasons so you can actually learn how to grow food. And, you know, like in April, we're going to send you tomatoes in a large grow pot so you can learn like how you grow tomatoes differently. And we're going to teach you all that using the farm wall. And so eventually, you know, you get your confidence up and you want to grow more, you're going to elevate up to the farm wall. But we're going to reach many more people, right? That, you know, maybe they don't want to pay for a farm wall. Maybe they don't have the ideal space, but they do have space for some grow pots, that kind of thing. So super exciting.
That's awesome. What do you think is your biggest challenge?
Wow, it's a great question because there's always a lot of challenges, right? So, you know, I would say it is scale. And what I mean by that is these are live products. So this is different than probably other subscription kind of businesses. Like if you think, I mean, everybody probably gets the coffee, right? Get your coffee or you get your dog food. You've got your things that come once a month to you.
Your hint subscription. Yes.
Of course. I've been doing that for years. I love that. But I got
But it does have a shelf life.
Yours does have, but it's a little longer than like I have, like ours is, you know, literally a week, like it's a week, right?
That's
We get the seedlings. Yeah. So they're not seeds. Right? I mean, our whole point is we got to get you to harvest quickly, right? And so, and that's part of it. And you're a new, if you're a new farmer, right? Like you don't want to wait 6 weeks, 8 weeks for that seed to pop into something. You want 2-3 weeks, you know what I mean? And so that's the importance. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to be working with growers, and I'm currently doing that where these guys are growing for me and then they're shipping out for me too. And so that's kind of, once you get that network of growers, right, across the US, you're really dialed in. So, you know, I can get people in Florida. We're basically looking at our tomatoes going, okay, they're done in the next month. Florida is just kicking off, right? I mean, I don't say kicking off, but like they're still going strong. Right? Arizona still going strong. So people are doing different things. And so it's important to have that network. So that would probably be like, that's the thing that I don't know if it keeps me up at night. I've learned not to stay up at night at these things.
You know what I think is so fascinating about your experience though, too, is that, you know, you've worked in a bunch of different companies and obviously went to business school too, but since graduating from college, and I feel like you've probably collected lots of things from like big companies that were great, you know, everything from Intuit to, you know, starting your own company. And now you're going and starting this company. And I feel like I was actually doing an interview earlier and talking to some press about, you know, the fact like I started Hint in my late 30s, you know, and people like think that entrepreneurs like, they graduate from college and then they do it. And people are like putting these doubts in their own mind. Like, I can't go do something, right? Like they're sitting at home, their existing role is not going to necessarily be conducive to, you know, or maybe they're just not really that interested, or maybe the company is laying people off or whatever. Like, I mean, I'm always saying like, whatever age or the fact that you've never done a company should not be the thing that, you know, is your wall and stopping you from doing it. You know, I feel like we've had, all of us have had so many years of experience too, but also like in big companies and small companies that like, we know that there's no magic. You just have to be willing and somewhat crazy enough to go and try all of these.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. That's so interesting you say that, because it's kind of like you take that learning, like every place that you go or you are, like you're just kind of picking up lessons, right? But then I always tell myself, like, I am always going to be a student. Like, you know, it was funny when I was at Bill.com, I was there like kind of one of the early executives and then was there for about 5 years and left. Like we were 40 customers when I got there, left, and we were 10,000. So it was like, so I was kind of there through all that growth, but it was B2B, right? So it's like, I start my, you know, my consumer business and I'm like, okay, this is different. Christy, go be a student again, you know? And I like popped in social media marketing world. world, here I come. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm like, it just kind of, and so I think that's a big thing for entrepreneurism, right? Like, you're always going to learn, you're taking your lessons, but man, don't always think you know everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think also, I mean, you and I have talked about this too. I think also when you're trying to figure things out and you're starting a new company, and, you know, I always talk about, I think you have a little bit of experienced people, but also people that are really passionate and want to dig in and learn, because you really have to do a lot of the research and try and put two and two together, because things are not necessarily like, they're not going to be laid out nice for you. Otherwise they would have already been done. And so you have to like get people who are willing to just go and be the bees and try and go and figure a lot of this stuff out. But I also feel like, you know, I always say it inside my own company that you hire people who are, you know, smarter, or people that you know something that you don't know, because you'll remain as an entrepreneur educated. And just, you know, if you're sitting there, the one that is always educating people, actually them being versus being educated, it's just like, you don't stay motivated. You get frustrated, right?
Yeah, it's such a good point.
You want people who are telling you something that you don't know, and also, you know, reaching out to a network of your friends that you've known through all of these different roles. Like, how do I do this? Or, you know, whether it's like raise money or PR or whatever. I mean, just find your network too, and just, you know, reach out.
Yeah. Network is so important. In fact, you know what, Kara, this totally reminds me of when I was starting my company, the first one, you know, back in the late '90s. And I remember, like, this is completely plays out exactly what you just said. I remember going to you back then and going, oh my God, I need to find someone who does this. And you were just, you got that Rolodex out. And I remember you just made those introductions. And honestly, like, that was the difference in getting into that next level. You know what I mean? It's truly going, reaching out and finding those networks. Yeah.
Well, I think like that's the thing that I found was like so unique, is like the tech industry was very much like, I feel like that's where I learned that like networks were kind of like, and it was okay not to have all the answers. It was like solving a puzzle that never really ended. Yeah. Kept building on it. And that's sort of how I describe entrepreneurism today. I really do believe that it's like, you know, the best entrepreneurs view it as it doesn't end. It's just like, there's just more and more, you know, you can only see so far maybe, but it just keeps adding on, and you have to sort of enjoy that. If you're somebody who wants to solve the puzzle and, you know, sell your company tomorrow or whatever, the likelihood of you actually reaching that goal is very low, right? Instead, you should be sitting here saying, we're building it, you know, we're moving it in this direction. And
yeah, no, and it's true. And it's kind of like knowing what the ending is going to be. Okay, I need to know how, what that story is going to end like. Like, well, actually, you don't know, because it's an ever-evolving story and it will change. Like, you know, it's like,
No, it's so, so true. So best advice you've ever received?
Oh, wow. This is kind of a more recent one, because of course we've all had a lot of advice along the way, but it's really kind of like a little affirmation, or a kind of a something I say to myself. And it's like, because, you know, we've been throwing some doozies in the last couple of months, right? In terms of the COVID and everything going on. And so what I tell myself when I'm sitting there and it's like, okay, you know, it's going the way I don't want it to go, you know, I'll say to myself, everything always has been, is now, and will be just fine. That's what I tell myself. And it, I got to tell you, it's magic. I say it out loud. I slow down. I say it out loud really slowly. And it's weird. It just puts that switch in your head and you're like, hey, go to work. You know what I mean? But I mean, that sounds kind of...
I think that's totally true. I mean, I do that. I don't say that exact thing, but I do that actually for me, especially lately, like even when COVID hit. For me, I mean, we were running Hint during the 2009 financial crisis. And, you know, it was a big time for me. And so I actually like walked into COVID when I was watching a lot of people just like fall and just freaking out. And I think for me, actually having been through some other challenging periods, you know, between the financial crisis, 9/11, I mean, like lots of things, I was able to be like, it's not good, but it's going to be okay. But I can't exactly, you know, the windshield is not cleaning properly. No, like I felt like it, I could kind of see through, but it was like definitely, but there were so many things that are different from these other periods and so many things that are similar. But I think more than anything, to your point, it's like, I knew it was going to be okay. It's just, it was going to be rocky. And there were going to be aspects that were going to be rocky. And we had to focus on parts that were, you know, that we knew we could keep moving forward, and more than anything.
Yeah, so true. It's kind of like trying not to have too many expectations. I mean, we were talking about this right before the call started, which is this whole concept of, you know, because of COVID and everything is still up in the air, like I try not to have too many expectations because you don't know what's going to happen, right? You're kind of like, okay, is my grower, like, is there going to be a fire up in Sonoma where some of my growers are and they're going to shut, like, you know, you're constantly contingency plan. Like, I feel like I'm constantly in that state so that you're ready.
Yeah. Well, and that's a really good point. I mean, I think that, you know, for us, contingency plans are something that, I don't know, you don't really normally write those into business plans when you're a brand new entrepreneur. But I think the idea of having a little bit of paranoia, and certainly through COVID, I think we've all like learned that. I mean, I think that definitely it will be a question going forward. Like, how did you, you know, handle, how did you grow your business? What do you think you did wrong? I think the authenticity of you being able to own things during this really challenging time will actually speak volumes to who you are as a leader, no matter what size. Like, I think everybody's had challenges and they've been different and anything.
Right. And I think too, like, it's so like, just positivity is so important, especially in times like this, right? It's kind of, there's always two sides, right? I mean, this is something people always talk about, but there's just two sides to it. And part of me is like, you know what? I'm going to like, you know, launch a brand new kind of product and business model and actually kind of take this company to a whole nother level. Like, in, you know, like in the middle of a pandemic, like that's crazy. Like a lot of people might think that, like, you're crazy, but I'm like, no, actually this is the right time to do it. You know,
so it's totally the right time to do it. So I always ask this one last question. What makes you unstoppable?
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. You know, I mean, you know me so well. I just keep going. I mean, like, I just think of so many, it's like, you just keep going. It's probably not the best answer, but it's kind of my answer. I mean, I just keep going. Nothing really stops me. You kind of figure it out. I mean, you're going to have your down days, but you just keep going, right? And you don't look at things as failures. They're just lessons. You know, there's no failures. It's like, okay, like, you know, we had something happen last week in the business and I was like, and everybody's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, hey, you know what, guys, this is just one big lesson, you know, and this is great. Now we know next time. And then let's move forward, right? Let's not,
So true. Yeah. And it's totally the right way to look at things. So where do people find, Planted Places, obviously, if you haven't visited, it's plantedplaces.com. And where do people find Christy Ross on social?
Wow. You know, I'm in LinkedIn, just my name, Christy Ross, LinkedIn. I think it's like, I got a LinkedIn like way early in life. So I actually have my name.
And Christy Ross. Right. So just Christy Ross, Ross.
Yeah. And I just post Instagram, Facebook, Planted Places. I do it all through my business. So yeah. And I'm huge on Pinterest, but that's slightly different, but yeah.
And they're beautiful. Like, if you want to dream about the perfect garden and sort of what could be with the farming, I mean, you do such a nice job. So you really, you're a good teacher on that. Definitely.
Yeah, it's fine. I love it. I love it.
Well, thanks everybody. And if you liked this podcast, definitely give it great reviews and subscribe and share it and tell everybody about it. We're here every Monday and Wednesday and hoping to inspire lots of people to learn and keep going and keep trying, as Christy was saying. So anyway, thanks everybody. Have a great week.
Like what you heard, please help spread the word and leave us a review. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Please talk to me at Kara Golden on Twitter. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, be unstoppable. Unstoppable. Unstoppable.